الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا وسندنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فقد قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في القرآن العزيز والفرقان الحميد بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الرسل كلوا من الطيبات واعملوا صالحا إني بما تعملون عليم وعن أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إن الله طيب لا يقبل إلا طيبا وإن الله تعالى أمر المؤمنين بما أمر به المرسلين فقال يا أيها الرسل كلوا من الطيبات واعملوا صالحا وقال تعالى يا أيها الذين آمنوا كلوا من طيبات ما رزقناكم ثم ذكر الرجل يطيل السفر أشعث أغبر يمد يديه إلى السماء فقال يا رب يا رب فمطعمه حرام ومشربه حرام وملبسه حرام وغذي بالحرام فأنى يستجاب لذلك أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام My dear respected brothers and elders, this hadith which has been reported by Imam Muslim rahimahullah, he says that Abu Hurairah radiyallahu ta'ala anhu says that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Inna Allah tayyib. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pure. Meaning he has no defects. He is pure from all faults. Anything that can be in any sort of way diminishing or something which can be of not a good thing, he Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pure from all that. Inna Allah tayyib la yaqbalu illa tayyiba. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only accepts pure. Any action which is free from ostentation, deceit, and it is done for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it is the right thing, then that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept. If it is not free from riya, ostentation, it is done for the purpose of showing people, or it is done without doing for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or the thing that is being done is not correct, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not accept. Would not accept. So Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pure and he only accepts pure. So whatever we do, it has to be pure. It has to be free from any sort of riya, from any sort of ostentation, and there are also other conditions which are attached to it, which inshallah I will, as we go along, will elaborate. But in short, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only accepts pure. وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى أَمَرَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ بِمَا أَمَرَ بِهِ الْمُرْسَلِينَ And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala orders the believers what he had ordered the mursaleen and the prophets. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam goes on to say the Quranic ayat, the verse which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands the Anbiya's and the Prophets. Ya ayyuha rusul, all messengers, all prophets. Kulu min tayyibati wa kulu min at-tayyibati wa amalu saliha. The eat what is pure and do good actions. So if he is ordering the Mursaleen and the Prophets, then obviously that will come to us. That injunction will fall on us as well. And also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala attached amal salih with tayyib, with good food, with doing good actions, which goes to show that eating halal, which is tayyib and pure, will have direct correlation with good action. From that, good actions will stem. From eating halal and tayyib and pure, the action that will disseminate, or the action that will leave the bodily organs, will be good. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has attached amal salih with aql tayyib, eating good. These two things are attached together. And if we want to progress in our deen, then we have to make sure that the food that we intake is pure and tayyib. It has no doubt, to the best of your ability. And once you have done that, then the base of good actions has been formed. And from that, good actions will come about. And the best of all actions is dua. Ad-du'a'u mukhul ibadah. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that dua is the actual, like the brains of the ibadah. It is the force which is behind ibadah. And if that dua is any way compromised, then my dear respected elders, the whole ibadah foundation will start to wobble. Will start to wobble. So my dear respected brothers and elders, the direct correlation can be seen in this ayah between amal salih and eating good, eating what is pure. This is why sometimes eating pure is called halal, but again Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took it to another level. Said, he didn't say kulu min al halal, it's kulu min al tayyibat. Because sometimes you can't call something this thing as haram. You can say it's halal, but is it completely pure from all doubts? Because to say something which is haram, you need categorical evidence, proof that this is haram. You've seen it. Otherwise you can't say. But that doesn't mean it doesn't have doubt. It can still have doubt in it. What does that mean? It means if somebody is eating something which is doubtful, you can't say he's eating haram. Because there is no solid evidence to prove that is haram. But it might have doubt. And that would not come under the category of tayyibat. Because tayyib means pure from all doubts. For the best of your ability. To the best of your ability. If it is not undoubtful to the best of your ability, then tayyib will not fit in that. Yes, you may say it's halal. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordered us to do actions which are tayyib and to eat which is tayyib. To do actions which are tayyib and to eat what is tayyib. So actions should be pure from ostentation, from riya, and also what we eat should be pure from any doubts to the best of our ability. And today, my dear respected ones, elders, with regards to food, so much doubt is available due to the way the food is processed nowadays. Before it was so simple. Even in this country, 25, 30 years ago, very simple. Just like I went home, Bangladesh, last week, I wanted a chicken. What did I do? Went to the shop, he weighed the chicken, took the knife out, Bismillah, Allah was slaughtered it, let it drain, and gave me the chicken, cleaned it and gave it to me. That's how simple it was. You want 5 chicken, then weigh it, slaughter it in front of you, finish. But in this country, this process has been taken away from the normal lay people. And major companies and major factories have been formed to do this. And it's been taken away from the eyes of the people. This process has been taken away from the eyes of the people. And when taqwa is not available, and when greed is such a powerful thing, that what does it do? It takes a person away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Brothers, dunya is such a thing. This love of dunya is such that it destroys a person. And every one of us have the love of dunya. But at the same time, if the checks are not there, then this love of dunya will not take us to akhirah, will not take us to Allah, but will take us to the fire of hell. Every person has the love of dunya. No matter how pious that person is. But it is only when those checks are there and checks and balances are in place, then the love of dunya is in check. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created everything for a reason. If the love of dunya was not there, then the whole system of dunya would collapse. The advance that is taking place would stop. But it has to be done with checks. Just like sugar, just like salt, just like food, anything has to be in moderation, has to be done with checks. A person cannot survive without sugar. A person cannot survive without water. A person cannot survive without salt. A human needs water, but if a person drinks too much water, he may even drown in his own water. You can die from drinking too much water. How many people know that? We say water is very good for you. You can drown, you can kill yourself by drinking too much water. We all know about too much sugar, we all know about too much salt, we all know too much food, obesity and this and that. But water, subhanAllah, water is very good, drink 3 pints, 4 pints. But even that will kill you if you have too much of that as well. Obviously, we need all these things, but it has to be in moderation. We need sunlight, too much sunlight is not good for you. We need cold, but too much of that is not good for you. We need sleep, but too much of sleep is not good for you. We need work, but too much work is not good for you. We need rest, but too much rest is no good for you. Everything has to be done in balance. Balance. So my dear respected brothers, elders, when the love of dunya is so great, and we know in this day and age, taqwa is a very precious commodity, and it is very far and few between, very less within the people, very less within the people. Before you go to the shop, the slaughter in front of you, the person in front of you may not be a fighter, practicing person, but he knows that the customer is watching him. The customer is watching him. He's not going to do anything stupid. He's going to do it. But when all these checks are gone, that he's not being washed. At the same time, taqwa is not available. Money and love of dunya is so great. So what will do? What will happen? The pull, which is greater, that will overcome. When the hubb dunya is so great, that will overcome the fear of akhirah, the fear of Allah. And then money, wherever he sees more money, he will go for that. And we see today how many times we see a person praying mashallah 5 times salah, yet he's selling alcohol. We see a person praying 5 times salah, yet he's sitting in the shop and he's doing deceit. 5 times salah, pressing in the till, instead of £4, he presses £6, and the customer checks. Well, he does it day in, day out. You see that all day, you just go around, you watch. Because the love of dunya is so great. In anything. Person got so many houses. What does he do? He makes something, oh, you broke this, you broke that, cut the deposit. And the tenant is, what did I do? And they're doing it, left, right and center. Charging extra, charging this, that. The love of dunya is so great. Yet, mashallah, practicing person, big beard, everything. You know, people might think this man is the wali of Allah. Look at him and you look at, you can see the signs of Allah within him. But what's happening inside? The dunya is so great that it deceives people. This is why Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu said that if you really want to know a person, you do dealing with him. Don't just fool by the appearance of that person. Do dealing with him. Have some money dealing. Maybe lend him some money. Maybe do some business with him. And then you will find out how good this person is. You lend him some money and that money is gone. Salaamu alaikum. Never to be seen again, that money. You ask him 1,001 times, oh brother, this happened, that happened. As if all the musibat of the world has just come to him and nobody else. He'll give you a list of musibat, list of trying, as if subhanallah, Allah has only attacked him and freed from everybody else. And that's it. So my dear respected brothers and elders, the love of dunya is so great and is rampant. We all have love of dunya, brothers. And to a certain extent, it is a good thing. To a certain extent, it is a good thing. But it is only when it transgresses the boundaries. Transgresses the boundaries. That is when the love of dunya becomes a disease, and that is when the love of dunya starts to take a person away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to the path of Jahannam and fire of hell. So as I was saying about the food, that the process has been taken away from the layman and been put into big factories and into big machineries. And given to the hands of big business people. So people do not see what's happening now. Look what's happened recently, we've seen. Instead of beef, you find horse meat. halal, so-called halal pies. Halal, mashallah, big sign, nice calligraphy written on it. And what's inside? Pork in there. And yet today we stick to this notion that we've heard from our salafs and our pious. Even Muslims say halal is halal. Brothers, that was a time when taqwa was prevalent. That was a time when taqwa was prevalent. When taqwa was very high. If a Muslim says something, you would accept it. But when we see such practices that is happening, and when we see that the love of dunya is rampant within the Muslims, forget the kuffar, we're talking about the Muslims here. And when we see that wealth is all it, be it all, that the person's worry and concern is all about how to progress in this world and not in the akhirah, then that is not enough. That doesn't mean that the person says that the brother is halal, you write him off. But what it means is that you have to make the extra checks. That is not enough. The hadith goes on to say that a rajul yutilu safar, that a person takes on a long journey. This is a hadith which is quoted by Imam Muslim. He says in the latter part, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying that a rajul yutilu safar, that a person takes on a long journey and he has traveled from very far away. He is a musafir, a wayfarer, a traveler. And we all know that the dua of a musafir is accepted. And he has traveled from very far away. How do we know? Ash'atha aghbar. That his appearance is disheveled and he is full of dust due to the long traveling that he has taken. يَمُدُّ يَدَيْهِ إِلَى السَّمَاءِ. He lifts his hands towards the skies making dua. Which goes to show that making dua, one should lift the hands. Some people say, why you lift your hands for? The hadith saying that this person lifting his hands. Prophet ﷺ lifted his hand and make dua. When they tell you, oh, that's another story. The يَمُدُّ يَدَيْهِ إِلَى السَّمَاءِ. And he's saying, Ya Rabbi, Ya Rabb. He's crying out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yet, wa mat'amuhu haram. That the food he takes is haram. Wa mashrabuhu haram. The drink that he partakes is haram. Wa malbasuhu haram. Even the clothes. We always think food. Food is, that can be haram. Clothes, how can that be haram? Brother, if you buy clothes with the haram money, that is also haram. The hadith is saying it. وَمَطْعَمُهُ حَرَامٌ وَمَشْرَبُهُ حَرَامٌ وَمَلْبَسُهُ حَرَامٌ. His clothes that he's wearing is all haram. وَغُذِيَ بِالْحَرَامٌ. What the food that he has taken and partaken, that is haram. He has been nourished with haram food. فَأَنَّا يُسْتَجَابُ لِذَلِكَ. How is it that his dua will be accepted? Brothers, this is the time. This is quoted by Imam Muslim rahimahullah. So, in this day and age, we have to take the extra precaution. We're making dua. So much of us, so many of us make dua. Look what is happening to the people of Palestine. Look what's happening to the people of Pakistan. Look what's happening to people of Bangladesh. Look what's happening to people of Syria. Look what's happening in people anywhere the Muslims are dominated. They are being slaughtered. The musibah is happening. Everywhere there's problem. How many Muslims are making dua? But because the love of dunya is rampant. And it is because of that, they do not look at what they are, how they are earning. They do not look what they are eating. They say, they take it the easy way. Somebody puts halal tomorrow, fine, that is enough. But that is not enough. That is not enough. We have to make the extra checks. Even if we don't go shopping, we let our family do the shopping, then it is our responsibility to make sure that what they are bringing into home is free, is tayyib. Yes, like I said before, there was a time when the Muslim says halal, alhamdulillah, you can take it, because the majority of the Muslim had taqwa, had fear. But when the majority of the Muslim do not have taqwa, do not have the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the love of dunya is rampant, and the love of dunya is so great that they do not look at how they are earning their money, how they are getting their money, and how they are providing, then my dear respected ones, elder, that is not enough. We have to make extra precaution. We have to make extra checks. We see this, that the kuffars, the non-Muslim, are showing to us that what you are eating is haram. My dear respected brothers, who found out? It wasn't Brother Abdullah from that shop who found out how if this pie was, it had pork in it or not. Who found out? It was the non-Muslims. They showed to us that what you are eating is haram. Indirectly telling us, wake up. You want your du'as to be accepted? You want yourself to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Then just don't walk into any shop and start buying. Fine, he's got a sign of halal. Brother, it's okay, it's fine. Oh yes, another one. Another one, another classical. Oh yes, going to Tesco and buy the meat and chicken. Why? Because these lot are Jews and Yahud. You can eat the meat and chicken. Subhanallah. Of course, اليوم أحل لكم الطيبات وطعام الذين أوتوا الكتاب حل لكم وطعامكم حل لهم. It does say in the Quran that the food of the Ahli Kitab is, you can eat. But when they slaughter it correctly as well, just like the Muslims, if they do not slaughter it correctly, then we are not allowed to eat their stuff. If a Muslim does not slaughter according to the Sharia, then we are not allowed. Likewise, if the Ahli Kitab, if the people of the book, if the Christians and the Yahuds, if they do not slaughter accordingly, then their food is not halal. And you, if the Muslims are not doing properly, you expect them? And we say, fine, we can say these are Ahli Kitab. How many times have seen Muslims say that, picking up from Tesco's? Why, this is okay. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq, inshaAllah.